But as I looked at the Bible, there's only two occasions of a birthday ever being mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I looked it up. One of them is in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 20, and it's Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh was not necessarily a good guy. Now, the other occasion, and you can read it on if you want to, but go with me to the other place. We're not going to read that either. But neither one of these guys are necessarily good guys. The other one is Herod's birthday party in Matthew 14, 6 to 10. Now, if you've got an RSVP, don't go. This is the birthday party where they beheaded John the Baptist. That's the only two places in the entire Bible I could find where it mentioned a birthday party. And both of them was not a good party. I don't think either one of them was a good deal. I mean, they didn't have that Chuck E. Cheese thing and all that, you know, stuff like these were both bad parties. And I would have stayed away. Now, I don't mention that for any other reason other than to say, and I'm not suggesting we shouldn't celebrate birthdays, but, you know, I'm just pointing out the fact that we have celebrations separate and apart from certain things in the Bible that gives us certain examples. And we're going to come back to that. Let me ask you this. Do any of you watch the old TV special, The Charlie Brown Christmas? Now, this is going to be pretty deep. You remember what Charlie Brown asked in that show? You remember that? This is important. Charlie Brown, in frustration, cries out, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" He does. And what does Linus do? Linus, with his little blanket, walks out on stage. And he says, so innocently, he says, "Sure, Charlie Brown." And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the flock. This is Linus reading. Just imagine his little voice. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And there is just something so innocent about the way Linus reads that passage of Scripture in his little child voice. In this account, did you notice the reaction of the shepherds? What if you could have told the shepherds on that particular occasion that, we're really not into Christmas or the birth of Jesus, or how do you think they would have reacted? Now, you notice it mentions that a plurality of shepherds, they were in the field, they were watching their sheep. And have you ever wondered why all of a sudden these angels appeared to shepherds? Why didn't they appear to the Pharisees? Why didn't they go to the religious leaders? The Old Testament talks about, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the prophets, it talks about how God shepherds His people. We talked this morning in 1 Corinthians 1 about how God appeals to the foolish of this world, to the baser things. And it just suddenly makes sense. And it was a situation where it was at night. And when I was living in the country, I made a mistake. I put one of those big lights out there, you know, where you could see things. And, you know, you couldn't see the night sky hardly at all. And because it lit everything up, it would be nice if you had a switch you could turn it off. But I couldn't. But where I live now, there's a little bitty light in the front, but in the back, I can see the night sky really well. And I can just imagine what it would be like to be in the night sky looking up, and all of a sudden this angel appears. And the angel appeared to those shepherds. And the shepherds, they were sitting there, and it says they were what? The passage says they were sore afraid. Now that's the archaic language, and I had to look at the Greek words, and I had to laugh when I saw the word sore afraid. It's so many of our words that we get from Greek, we derive them. But the word was megas phobos. Megas being much. We know what mega means. And phobias, we know what phobias are. That's fearful. It means they were very, very afraid. And this angel appears, and that's the natural reaction. If I'm sitting out one night, and we're not shepherds, but if we were sitting out, we know what it's like to sit out at night and just be sitting under the stars, and this angel appears to us, what's our natural reaction? Are we just going to say, nice to see you, angel? Our natural reaction is, oh my goodness, we're much afraid. That's the natural reaction for this heavenly host appearing to us. We're much afraid. They were exceedingly afraid. And this angel appeared, and he talked about Jesus' birth. Would our natural reaction to say, well, you know, you don't understand. We're not going to celebrate this. You know, we're concerned somebody might mistake the fact that we might be into some kind of pagan worship. I think not. What did the angel say? He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy to who? All people. Do we celebrate good tidings of great joy? We do. We do. We wouldn't explain to the angel, oh, I'm sorry, we're not into that. That's just not something that we do. That's not part of our religion. That's in the Bible. We just read that, didn't we? These are great tidings of good joy to all people. And it was there in those pages that we just read. The Bible tells us, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. These shepherds were excited. They were excited. And the angel goes on to say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was a big deal. This was a big deal. This was no small event. This was not some little happening. This was something they had been waiting thousands of years for. This was something every generation they were hoping and praying for. It says that there was with the angel. The angel wasn't by himself. He didn't come alone. He said there. It says there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So as we see this angel, as we're sitting out under the stars, this angel first shows up, and what? We're scared to death. This angel shows up, and with this angel, there's lots of other angels. Now, am I just sitting in my lawn chair saying, ha, angel, I'm sorry, I'm not into this stuff. You know, I don't even believe in you. And I don't, you know, no. I've got a little table that's kind of falling apart. I keep gluing it back together, you know. And in the summertime, I sit out on this table and swat flies. And you say, no, Christmas is in the summer. No, it's not either. We'll talk about that another time. And I got a book that can prove it. But anyway, we're out here. I'm going to tell you what, I am under that table, and this chair is not very big, but I'm under that chair. I am scared to death. All these angels are out there. There's a multitude of the heavenly host. And if you've ever seen the Northern Lights, I've only seen it on TV. Hadn't seen too much of it, but as great as that is, this multitude of heavenly hosts, the sky is lit up. It's got our attention. And they're saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And we're just in awe of all this stuff that's going on. And you know what? We say, you know, all of us shepherds, we kind of get together and we say, you know, that was interesting. You know, one of these days, if we're in Bethlehem, we ought to check that out. And the other one says, well, you know what? I don't think I'll be down there anytime soon. That's not real convenient. I don't know that we'll ever get down to Bethlehem. You know, we're pretty busy tending sheep here. That's not what they said, is it? It says that they made haste. Y'all ever make haste? I'm going to tell you what. Those people I was just talking about on that Friday after Thanksgiving that spent the night in the store, then they opened them doors and then they went after them presents, those were the people that were making haste. They were making haste. That's making haste, if you all know what that word, that phrase means. They were making haste. Under other translations render it, they ran or hurried to Bethlehem. We know what they were doing. They said, we're going to Bethlehem right now. I don't know if they just left their sheep right there, but here they went. It says they made haste. That's making haste. I don't know if they dropped everything they were doing and they just took off a running, but they were in a hurry. They wanted to see what was going on. This is something that Israel had been waiting thousands and thousands of years for. I'm not taking anything away from the memorial that we remember of Jesus that he established in communion each Sunday, but this was a big event. This was a big event. In Romans 14, it talks about the fact that we're free in Christ to make the decisions as individuals to choose whether we esteem one day above another. The English Standard Version does a wonderful job of saying that Romans 14:4, it says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And it goes on to talk about the fact that respecting these days is up to an individual. And so, I'm not trying to convince you that esteem all these holidays or everything else, but it's a situation if we choose to take what the world observes and say, you know what, let's build on that. Let's build on the fact that what is this Christmas? This Christmas is not about a present or charging into a store. You talk about Jesus as being the Christ. He is. He is. This is what Christmas is about. Linus got it right after all. Charlie Brown was looking for the meaning. Linus told you the answer. Luke 2 nailed it. Luke 2 nailed it. In the pages of the New Testament, we have example after example of Jesus and the New Testament writers talking about and praying about and desiring unity on the part of believers. And you know, we can drive down the road and see every flavor of people that profess Christianity. And, you know, we've been talking about on Sunday morning, Larry did a good job in 1 Corinthians 1 talking about the fact that 1 Corinthians 1 is dealing with people and disharmony and disunity rather than unity. Some might say, well, what about those that are weaker brothers and choose to do things differently? If you look at Romans 14, it's not talking about the individual that's wanting to split churches. It's talking about the one that's wanting to keep churches together. Romans 14:1, it says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. It's talking about unity and keeping the church together, not using these verses to drive believers apart. And you know, we stress context, context, context. And that is so important as we look at these passages. Talking about what we studied on Sunday morning, if you look in other translations that do a better job of translating those phrases that we studied on Sunday morning, the New English Translation gets it right. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Excuse me. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree together to end your divisions and to be united by the same mind and purpose. For the members of Chloe's household have made it clear to me, my brothers and sisters, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am with Paul, or I am with Apollos, or I am with Cephas, or I am with Christ. So what they were doing is they were following different factions at that particular time. And some would use an older translation that says, agree with one another, say the same things. It's not about always everybody always saying the same things. It's about following different groups. And that's so much what our problem is about, even within the church, splitting over little silly little things about, do you observe Christmas? Do you worship the tree? Things like that. And that's why I had to have, I guess, that little speech I got every Christmas when I was a kid. I don't know if y'all got any of those or not. I remember when years ago when I was in the military congregation that I attended, that became a big deal. And there was a guy that one of the elders there was a major. And we respected this guy. And all he was, I ain't going to give you any names, but boy, he was laying this Christmas thing out to us. And then we were over at his house a little closer to Christmas. My goodness, that house was decorated and there was trees and everything else. And I thought we were going to have to bow down to those trees, that kind of stuff, you know. So it's kind of weird sometimes, some of that. So, you know, anyway, and I say that to point out the fact that a lot of times in the church, we're very uncomfortable about certain things regarding this stuff. And I'm not endorsing, let's have a big Christmas tree and all this other stuff. But in the church, there's been a lot of, how do we say it, uncomfortable things regarding this event. And all I'm saying is this was a great event. Dating back to the time of Abraham. Abraham was promised the fact that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Genesis chapter 12. And as the succeeding generations went on, I'm sure that to the Jewish mind, they were thinking that with each succeeding generation and each birth, that this was a Jewish birth that could be the Messiah. And they were longing and looking forward to this event, that possibly this could be the Messiah. And it was a great thing that they were looking forward. But back to the angel's message. And as I was studying this, it occurred to me the differences in the appearing to the angel and the appearing that a lot of people claim that they receive today. A lot of people, you know, you'll hear testimonies of these appearings that they have. And what do they? How's their reaction? Oh, God appeared to me, or this angel appeared to me and he told me this and that. But the angel appears to these shepherds, and what is the first thing that this angel says? Fear not. Fear not. This was an awesome event. This was a big deal. And Luke records the shepherds must have been very afraid. So, that's the natural human reaction. This was good news to be shared with the whole world at that particular time. I find it ironic that Peter, on the first Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, he says, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to who? All that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Peter states that the promise was for everybody, not just Jews, but to Gentiles, to everybody. He doesn't state Gentiles. But do you think Peter was thinking Gentiles? I don't think so. Well, you say, how do you know that? Well, when Cornelius was to send for Peter so that Peter could tell him what to do to be saved, Peter had to be convinced to go convert Cornelius. Because God told Peter to go, and he was shown in a vision, and what Peter said, "No, Lord, no, nothing unclean." That's how they thought of the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. But Peter, you just said that the gospel is for everybody. And I'm sure if you could have questioned Peter at the time, Peter would say, "Oh no, I didn't mean the Gentiles, just the Jews. Don't you understand that?" Now, he didn't say that, but I got a feeling from his actions, and what do we always say? Actions speak louder than words. But the gospel was for everybody. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. Jesus meant the gospel for everybody, for us. And I am so thankful. Otherwise, you and I would have a big problem. What's our problem? You know what our problem is? The grave. The grave. And you know what? John 3:16, the same speech that Jesus was telling Nicodemus about, where he said, "You've got to be born again, Nicodemus." And we forget, you see John 3:16 painted on people's faces in football games and stadiums and everything else. They don't mention John 3:3 and all those other part of that speech. They just mention John 3:16. But in the same speech where he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," he continues talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I am so thankful that when my body keeps getting old like it's doing, and it's put in the grave, that flesh that rots, my soul, my spirit, is in heaven. And that's what God promises us. He knows we have the problem of the grave. And he has answered man's biggest problem. And I am so thankful for it. And that's what we have to rejoice over this very day. And the fact that he announced it to those angels for all people. That's good news. That's good news. In conclusion, this morning we can ask ourselves, what can we do regarding unity, regarding Christmas? Well, first off, we can't open Pandora's box and put all the disunity back in the box, can we? But we can give no foothold to anybody who practices disunity. And I think that is so important, the fact that Jesus prayed for unity. Give no foothold to those that would practice disunity. And there are those that would split the church over any little thing, over any little... I look back in the history of the Restoration Movement and look at so many things that have split the church. And it's been a laughingstock in Christendom over things that have split the Church of Christ. And that's sad. That's sad. The Lord's church should not be ridiculed over little picky things like that. Give no occasion to those people who would do things like that. There's just no place for it. Secondly, we commemorate the Lord's death each Sunday. That's the important thing. But so also is Jesus coming to the world. Let's take what the world, the few times that the world remembers Jesus, and try to build on that with anybody we come in contact with, and try to share the gospel, and remember the fact that Jesus has done so much for us. He solved our biggest problem. And people talk about depression at Christmas. Let's turn depression into joyous times, and the fact that it's a great time of the year. It's not about presents. It's not about anything other than being thankful that he solved our biggest problem. It's not about riches or anything else. It's about the fact that the grave couldn't hold him, and it won't hold us. If you need to respond to the invitation, we pray you'd come. We stand and sing.